Hello, friends. Thank you for joining me again this week on the SOS Podcast. I'm your host, Carl. I hope you're all doing well. Last week, one of the women at church told us about a dream that she had had. She didn't quite understand the dream, so she shared it with us. In her dream, she was in a small town, walking down kind of like a main street area. What she noticed was that there weren't very many stores where you could get what you needed. She passed by one of these stores, and at the front door, on either side of the door, stood a statue. Now, these weren't your normal, typical, like, stone or metal statues, because they were alive. What she saw was that anyone who wanted to go into one of the stores would have to walk up to the statues and kneel or bow. They had to get down really into a posture of worship and worship the statues. And once that was done, then they were granted permission to go into the stores. Now, these people would go into the stores. They would appear to get what they needed. They would appear to shop and then come out of the stores, I guess, with bags. But the interesting thing was that there really wasn't anything inside the store. There was almost nothing. So a person would come out with this bag, and you would think that they had in there what they needed, but they actually have nothing in there. Again, she didn't understand what the dream meant. It actually kind of freaked her out a little bit, because it made her think of end times prophecy, mark of the beast, buying, selling, those kinds of things. And some people get really scared and nervous when they think about those times, when they think about what we might have to go through as the church, the pressure to bend, the pressure to defy God that might be so strong, because it might be a matter of not being able to have food or a place to stay, or gain full employment simply because of our faith. But I didn't get nervous at this dream. I actually got hopeful because, well, let me tell you how I saw the dream. So the store, the statues, all of that, to me, obviously, represented the enemy. The fact that people were going into these stores after worshiping the statues, so they were giving their allegiance to these things, so that they could go in and hopefully get what they needed or what they thought they needed. But at the end of the day, they were getting nothing. They were getting nothing in return for worshiping these statues. They were leaving empty-handed. They were being tricked. I mean, it was all a ruse. It's all smoke and mirrors. It's the empty promise of someone who lies, who can give us nothing, who can offer us zero. Someone who uses fear to try to get us to bend. You know, God is not a God who puts his people on this earth so that they can be defeated, so that they can fall, so that they can fail. We're imperfect. We're going to make mistakes. But the purpose of us being here is to be victorious. The purpose of the sacrifice of Jesus Christ, his resurrection, mercy, grace, the fact that we can gain forgiveness and have everlasting life, the hope that we have in Jesus, all of that is about victory. It's about winning. It's not about losing. It's not about falling. All of that makes it possible for us to rise above the deception of the enemy, for us to rise above his trickery, his lies. I saw this dream as something very promising and hopeful, because in the dream, this woman was only on the outside looking in. She never approached one of those statues. She never paid allegiance to it. She never went into one of those stores thinking, I have to go in there to get what I need. She was more of an outsider, just a bystander, a witness, watching everything going on. But never in that dream did she have the inkling to go in there and participate in that. That to me was hopeful. That to me also tells me that we may encounter times when the enemy, His temptation is strong. His prompting is strong. His arguments are crafty. He might really, really get to us, or we think he gets to the heart of the matter, right? He might be really, really close to convincing us that he's right to follow him, to bow to whatever he places before us. But there's something called discernment that God gives us. There's a wisdom that he gives us to recognize something is not right here. In that dream, I believe God gave her that wisdom, that she from the outside could see what was going on in that establishment, could recognize there's something off here, there's something wrong, this is not right. She watched, but she didn't dare step foot inside one of those stores. I don't know the times of temptation and oppression which await the church in the future. I don't know if in our generation we will see times like that. I don't know if that's hundreds of years away. What I do know is that we have a God who will prepare us for whatever we must encounter. We have a God who can equip us to be faithful in all things. We have a God who holds us in the palm of his hand, all of us. There is a place of safety and security in him. We might doubt our abilities. We might doubt whether we can be faithful. We might doubt whether we will buckle and bend and make the wrong decisions under immense pressure. Doubting in ourselves, I mean, that's commonplace. Because we within ourselves, well, we're going to fall. But we can't doubt God to give us what we need to make it through those times. We can't doubt that God will give us the wisdom and understanding to know that things are wrong and we need to go in the other direction. We need to recognize that God honors good intentions. The same way he honors the prayers of the righteous, the same exact way. When our desire is to please him, and if that desire is pure, if we wholeheartedly want to obey God, there's very little that we need to know about any situation. We just don't need to know. We don't need to know what the store is. We don't need to know what the statues mean. We don't need to know anything. We just need to know that we want to please and honor God. And he will give us what we need to get there. He'll make that picture clear. He'll give us the discernment to know which way to go. God will make it so that we can honor him if we truly desire to do that. So when we think of end times, well, we think of not even end times. Well, I mean, we're in the end times. But when we think about what's going on in the world today and how many different ways we're pressured to change, to buckle, to defy God and his righteousness for the sake of going along with everyone else and being relevant and being current. You know, our culture is changing. A lot of our Christian morality is seen right now as old-fashioned, uninformed. You got to get with the times. You got to get a little smarter because that's the way people used to live and the way people used to think, but that's just not the way it is. We know too much now. We're so enlightened that we know that kind of old-fashioned morality is, well, it's actually oppressive and hateful. That's what the world says. But we know the truth. The truth is that God's truth never changes. What he says is good, always has been good, always will be good. What he says is evil, always has been evil, always will be evil. No matter what the world thinks, no matter what the trends are right now. But we don't have to be that smart to be obedient. We don't have to worry that we're not going to know enough and that we're going to fall because of that. That dream gave me confidence because the woman in that dream really had no idea what was going on or how to interpret it, but she knew enough to stay away from that store. And I feel like that's God telling us, look, times might get rough for my people. You might not have any idea what's going on. You might think you're going to be too confused to be obedient because everything's so crazy and chaotic. But guess what? If you want to be faithful to me, I will surely make it so that you are faithful. I will give you the discernment the knowledge, the wisdom, whatever you need to stay on that right track. That's the God that we have. This week's song inspiration is a song by Natalie Grant called Held, and it talks about just that, how God holds us, how God keeps us. We don't need to fear the darkness. We don't need to fear times of confusion. We don't need to fear the end. We don't need to fear oppression. We don't need to fear the mark of the beast. We don't need to fear any of that. We don't have to be afraid of anything. God keeps us. What does Paul say? Paul says something that every time I read it, or every time I think about it, just really strikes me right in the heart. He says something to the effect of, you know, I resolve to know nothing but Jesus Christ and him crucified. He's like, I could be the dumbest person on earth. Maybe I can't tell you what 2 + 2 =. Maybe I can't form a coherent sentence. Maybe I can't read. Maybe I have zero worldly knowledge, zero education. But all that matters is that I know that Jesus Christ died for me, and that I've accepted him and his sacrifice, that I've taken him as my savior, that I've allowed him to enter my heart. That's all I need to know. I don't have to be any smarter than that. That's it. That's the golden ticket. So I think this dream really speaks to that. You don't even have to know what's going on. You just have to know Jesus. And you have to sincerely want to please him and obey him. And when you have those, all that put together, that equation equals a sincere heart desiring to obey and please the Lord, and will walk in a manner that obeys and pleases the Lord. Regardless of the circumstances, we don't need to be fearful. We don't need to be nervous. We can have 1,000 questions and we can feel like we have no answers and still be faithful. He will give us what we need to do that. He will hold us. Father God, we just thank you, Lord, that you make a way in everything. That it doesn't matter how bad things get here. It's okay. It doesn't matter what the oppression looks like for your people. It's okay. It doesn't matter what kinds of scary or nerve-wracking pictures are painted of what the future will look like for us here. It's okay. We don't have to be afraid of any of that. All we have to do is know that you are faithful, that you've made us for victory, and that if these times are getting worse and worse and worse and worse, it's only so that you can have more and more and more victory, so that your people can be more and more victorious, so that we can be greater in spirit than we were before. Father, we invite the times that for all intents and purposes look like they're here for our bad, but you will use them for our good. We invite those times, God. We invite growth and development in the spirit, God. We ask you to use us in mighty way. You have us in the palm of your hand, God. You mold us and shape us and use us for the good of your kingdom, the best way you know how. We invite that, God. We ask you to use us in those ways. We ask you, God, to give us the discernment and the wisdom and the knowledge, whatever we need, to get through all of those times with victory and success. Father, we love you, and we can't wait to see you face to face. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. Good day, and God bless.